All right, welcome everyone. It's Tuesday evening here, just almost 10 p.m. over there in Ireland and almost 5 p.m. here in America. I'm Stephen Roberts and I decided to go live. I got a message from someone and we're going to go live for the last hour. So I want to welcome Del to the show. Welcome, Del.
Hiya, Steve. Should we have spoken before anyway?
Yeah, we've done some things in the past, did a few records, and you've come on a couple live shows, so we're going to go live again.
Well, here we are. That was an excellent pod there that you just had on there with Billy McGuire there. He's got an awful lot of ancient knowledge there, you know. When I say ancient knowledge now, sort of knowledge that seems to be somewhat repressed from us nowadays, you know.
Well, yeah.
I don't know, like, were you in school the day they explained sundials and things like that?
I don't believe I was.
Well, you know, there's an awful lot caught up in that insofar as most of us don't have any sort of an understanding of the rotation of the Earth in relation to the sun and, you know, latitude and longitude and all the rest of it, other than that, you know, there are lines on a map somewhere, you know. But that's how people navigated and that's how people conducted their lives, their growing seasons, all sorts of aspects.
Well, yes, it is.
That sort of broke up their time, their day, their months, their calendar, their growing season, all sorts of things. Everything was dependent on the sun. It's like somebody said to me, somebody said there lately to me that, you know, to be a wonderful day if only the sun would come out, you know. And I said, well, you know, you'd be walking around knocking into things if it wasn't out. It's always shining, or every day it shines. It's just mostly obscured by clouds.
Well, it seems over there the sun does come out, and it seems to have burn off the moisture in the atmosphere, and it seems to be a little warm over there, huh?
Yeah, we get the odd few days together there that things really hot up, you know, and then you see we're not acclimatized very well to it, and it takes us a few days to acclimatize, and then it rains for a day or two, because, you know, as the farmers say, every, you know, when the sun is shining, they're looking for rain. And when it's raining, they're saying, you know, a little bit more heat would be nice. So you just can't, you can't please everybody all of the time, you know.
Well,
but by and large, we're lucky. We don't freeze that much over here, and even in the depths of winter. And, you know, we have a fairly temperate climate, really.
Yeah. I find you can't really please the farmers. If if they want one thing, they're going to want another, and then they'll want something else, and you just can't play them.
Yeah, they they're, you know, nowadays they're very regulated and that type of thing, and they tend to, you know, there's never really any good news, you know. I mean, you ask a farmer how he's doing, and it tends to be quite a long, sorry story, you know.
Uh-huh.
They tend not to be that open themselves anymore, you know, compared to the way they used to be, you know, before they had all this registration and paperwork and all that type of thing.
Yeah.
Just, well, my own observance would say, you know, it seems to be getting a lot more on top of them, especially now that prices are down and they're not doing as well as they used to.
Yeah. I just looked it up a few minutes ago before I give you a buzz there. It's currently 30 degrees centigrade over here, which is 86 degrees. It's quite warm.
Fahrenheit, yeah. It is all Celsius we operate in here, you know.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that you haven't gone to Celsius, because you use the imperial system quite a lot, don't you, in other regards?
Well, I just, the computer systems over here, you can just look up the temperature and it gives you the option if you want the...
it's mostly Fahrenheit G-talk, isn't it?
Do you have your automatically adjust your microphone tick there? Because it seems to be getting a lot of background noise or something there.
Yeah, I'll uncheck that. Or should I check it?
No, untick it and then hit your save. Yeah, because it was, I don't know what you, it was giving a big wind tunnel there for a few minutes.
All right.
It seems to be good now, though.
I'd have to stop heavy breathing, so or whatever. You know, maybe that was contributing to it. You see, I was rushing to come on, you know?
Yeah. And
I just wanted to get in on that there, because there was so much information being imparted there in the last hour that I just couldn't constrain myself, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So what do you think of this Brexit?
I don't think Great Britain or Ireland or Scotland or Greece or any of the other countries are going to go anywhere. I don't think they're going to be allowed to go anywhere. I think it's just nothing but a distraction. I think it's wishful thinking.
I see a divergence in it. I see that those countries that are in, the regulations are going to get tighter, we'll say. You know, the squeeze is going to come on them more, and those that have left will probably be quite glad, you know, in time, because it has been building to a super stage, you know.
Yeah.
It's federalism, really, this whole European construct, really. It's what you have over there, really, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't see any, whether it's a banker or some family, you know, they put names on the controllers, and they put faces up there for us to throw darts at or shoot our shotguns at, or whatever the case is, to be the boogeyman. But I don't see them relinquishing any control that they have right now. I tell you the truth, Del. Some of these families and some of these secret societies, whatever you want to call them, they've had control for a long, long time, and well, they're not about to relinquish that control, not without a struggle, anyways.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you have power, it's very hard to relinquish any of it, isn't it? In fact, you probably want to consolidate it more and more, don't you?
Yes.
It seems to be heading that way more and more, you know, that basically, you know, if you can goad people into registering more and buying in more into the system, that, you know, they're obviously going to make more and more offers and pull people in more and more, you know, and switch things from a country's sovereignty to, you know, like a state sovereignty to more of a federal operation.
Yeah.
It's empire building, really, isn't it?
Well, certainly it is. Certainly.
It's, you know, the mainstream media is increasing the pressure, we'll say. There's more and more difficulties and uncertainties and all the rest of it. And that's a great time to be slipping this in and that in when we're otherwise engaged, perhaps, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, they still have all of these plans on the books. If one was to read their white papers, their internal papers, so to speak, what they, you know, they converse back and forth to each other. They still have all of these plans for the future, and they really haven't changed any of these plans. They still want to have certain technologies by the end of this decade or the end of this year, and you know, they unless they were to just come out and say, well, yeah, we're going to scrap this little thing we have going here, but well, they don't seem to be doing that kind of thing. They just seem to be stepping forward with their agenda and their plans.
Well, the bigger Europe is, the more dependent each of the states are on it, you know, because the more powers, we'll call them, that they tend to suck in, you know, and the more expectation and the less individuality then, you know, because we have unique geographical differences and historical differences and that type of thing, you know, and variation in climates and variation in economics and agriculture and all of those factors, you know, as well as customs, unique customs to different areas, all of that. And because of the bigger the mix, there seems to be less individuality.
Oh, are you still there, Dale? Nope. I seem to have lost him there for a few seconds. So, oh, are you back now? Nope. I lost him for good. So, I guess I'll just have to wait till I get Dale back. See if he does come back. Oh, well, anyways, I'm going to I'll just put a little short something on here till I get Dell back. I'll just put my intro on. I'll be right back in a few minutes here, everyone.
Yeah, but I mean, is the sound coming across okay? Because it was dropping for a while there beforehand, I noticed.
Yeah, and we're back, everyone. I finally got Dell back. His system just shut down on him. I don't know whether that was the internet or some little gremlin.
Yeah, it was the internet there. It was an external problem. My computer and all the rest of it seems to be okay. But anyway, where were we?
Well, we were talking about the people in control and the secret societies and the bankers and these people that don't really want to relinquish their control, but we are trying to get them to.
Yeah, but maybe within that, right, if that's the world around us, maybe the only choice we have then is to change ourselves, you know?
Sure. I mean, I don't believe we're going to change them at all, so we have to change our own thinking and change our own way of life.
Yeah, because that's the only option we have, like, given that that's the variation, that's the variable that we can bring to it. So maybe we just got to work a little bit smarter on that type of thing and take advantage of the areas that we can maneuver in, you know?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Remind me again who Theresa May is. I think she's over there in Scotland or something. Laurie was actually mentioning her in the chat there.
Yeah, I think she's the new prime minister, is she, in the UK? I think she replaced David Cameron.
Oh, David Cameron has stepped down, has he?
Yeah, he resigned after the Brexit thing was passed.
Oh, wow. It shows how much I pay attention to that kind of thing.
I don't pay a lot of attention to it myself, but it seems to be going on. You know, they seem to be talking about her quite a bit. She has a bit of a history in that, so we'll just have to see where she'll take it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. See what sort of deceptions and manipulation she can put forth.
Well, I mean, she's, you know, they regularly change the guard, we'll say. So, you know, we have to allow them to do that, but it depends then on where they're going to take it. There seem to be a lot of women internationally lately, which in, you know, the normal set of circumstances is perfectly okay. That's as things should be. But in a time that we might consider quite tumultuous and a time of a lot of change, they seem to be suddenly brought forward when people step down and that type of thing.
Yeah.
Usual circumstances, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, the male puppets have been in control for a long, long time, and the people have been, are getting a little upset with the male authority figures, so maybe they had to put a female authority figure or a female puppet in there to keep the masses down a little bit.
I don't take a lot of notice of it, really, to be honest. It's to me, it seems like a lot of window dressing, you know?
Yeah.
The actor has changed, but the story, the play seems to go on, you know?
The play, yeah. The movie seems to go on, or the play goes on. I think that was a Shakespeare, wasn't it?
I think so. I think so. He had a lot of interesting things to say in his time. So maybe this isn't something that that is new. Maybe it's a repetitive sequence that comes into play every, you know, every so often, every few hundred years or something like that. Because empires come, empires go, the lifespan seems to be quite short on them, really, you know?
Yeah.
And that they tend to get reinvented in a new manner.
Yep. I find it interesting over here in America, a lot of these people that are in this so-called alternative media, they are jumping behind the Donald Trump train, and it just bugs me. Most of the mainstream is also behind Donald Trump. He seems to be Fox News's man. He seems to be all of these big shots like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly. He seems to be their candidate. But they're going on with this mantra that he's not part of the establishment. He's an outsider. He's not one of the career politicians, so we can trust him. And I just, you know, you just got to roll your eyes and just got to laugh at it, really. I do.
Well, we had that with several years ago, hadn't we, with Obama? That was going to be a whole new thing.
Yeah. Hope and change.
What was his mantra?
Hope and change.
Yeah, well, I don't see a lot of hope, and I haven't seen a lot of change. Have you?
I haven't seen any hope, and I also haven't seen any change.
You know, it seems to be moving. There's a general move worldwide towards more corporate control.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's okay. It seems to seem to be losing Dell again. Are you back now? No, I guess not. His internet must be giving him fits today, so guess I'm just going to deal with it until I get him back. It would be nice if everybody over there in Ireland and Scotland could get some good internet. It would be real nice. I know a lot of people deal with a lot of issues with the internet over there. I don't seem to be one of them. Of course, I am here in America, and I pay pretty heavily for this good internet that I have. So anyways, I'm just going to put another short song on until I get Dell back. So we'll be right back in a few minutes again, everyone. All right, and welcome back there. We are back again. I've got Dell back for how long? I don't know, but I do have him back.
Your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah, we're going to continue until we don't.
If a job's required from time to time, we have to yield to it, you know?
Well,
but let's keep trying.
We did mention the name Donald Trump, and things got a little wobbly there, didn't it?
Yes, well, hey, you know, he's got his fingers in a lot of pies, a lot of golf courses around the world there. he was, actually, the Scots weren't too happy with him at all, I believe.
No? What's that story?
He tried to build a big golf course there in Scotland, and the neighbours, he really turned against some of the neighbours. I think there was a farmer there beside him, so he put a huge bank of soil obliterating, right on the border of his property, we'll say, and the guy next door. And there was a little old lady as well that basically he took to court and, tried to chase her down for the fees and costs involved and things like that, apparently.
Yeah.
So the neighbours weren't that happy, and I believe he pulled out of Scotland. So apparently he's moved to Ireland now. That he's going to develop a golf course over there, you know.
Oh, boy. That ought to be fun.
Well, yeah, he tends to keep doing what he does and that type of thing, you know.
Yeah, well, the big money people do seem to do that kind of thing.
Yeah, they've got all the tools, we'll say, in their toolbox, and they tend to try and use them as much as they can, you know?
Yeah, they got all the money in their bank so they can fill the local politicians' pockets up.
Oh, yeah, that's the first thing they seem to get on side, you know? I mean, when they fly into a country and that, they seem to get met by ministers, you know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you were to fly into most countries, its border control would be meeting you, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And interviewing you, possibly, because I believe you have a beard.
Yeah.
So, you know, they might want to see the smile under that, yeah?
Yeah.
You know, the photo, you mightn't have had a beard when you took the photo or something, you know?
Right.
But you wouldn't get the red carpet treatment anyway, is my point, you know?
Yeah. I come across a story yesterday. It was actually a video. I think there was a small architect that won a bid for a job. He was going to, design something for Trump. I don't even know what it was now. I didn't really catch what the job was, but he got the job and he did his job well, and he sent the results to Trump, and he got pushed to, he got pushed around. Trump's people told him that they weren't going to pay him what he wanted for his architectural rendering. And, he tried to stay his ground, and they got pushy with him, and Trump sent all the lawyers to him and, give him the runaround, and finally told the guy that he was going to take about, I think the man said 1/5 or 1/6 of what he was going to get paid, just a small fraction. And the guy said, I can't do that. It's going to ruin me, you know. I mean, he just got bullied and bullied and bullied and pushed around, and finally, until he did take this little meager sum from Trump. But anyways, to make a long story short, all of these people that have that sort of money do these things. They don't pay full price for anything. If something costs you or I $10,000 or 10,000 pounds, whatever it is, these people with big money are going to try to get it for a quarter of that.
Well, it's ego. It's ego, isn't it?
Is it ego, or is it? Well, is there a difference between ego and narcissism? I guess that's a pretty good question we can try to ponder.
Well, definitely, you know, if one had lots and lots of money and it wasn't a concern and one had a lot of people working for one, one would want the best out of them. And, you know, if everybody's going to say yes to you all the time, anybody that says no, you're probably not going to rate them very highly. So to be quite easy to get narcissistic or at least sociopathic if one was operating in that vein.
Right, right.
Wouldn't it?
I would think so, yeah. I mean, if I had, you know, if I had the prestige that he does, or if I had the money, or if I had the corporate control that he does, I don't think I could be a yes boss. You know what a yes boss is, right?
What's a yes boss?
Well, it's basically have all of your employees be sycophants. Yes, boss, you're right. You're right, boss. Yes, boss.
Well, you see, that's the natural tendency in people is to sort of fall into line behind, we'll call them powerful people, you know, leaders.
Yeah.
So it is sort of massaging their ego all the time then, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it is a sort of a pitfall that, a natural pitfall that's quite easy to fall into.
Yeah.
Now, you know, if one accedes to that, if one was in that position, then that becomes the reality then, you know. I mean, why would you, if you don't really have any worries, how do you measure yourself if you don't have any financial worries? You know, if the money keeps rolling in even when you're asleep, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, as opposed to having to work or eke out a living every day. So they're getting heavier, we'll say, or fatter or larger on the backs of the ordinary working guy.
Uh-huh.
You see, it probably comes down to a question, really, this worldwide movement towards corporations or acceding to corporations' wishes and desires on several levels. If you look at it from the point of view of taxation and that, you know, these corporations seem to pay 2 or 3% tax. The ordinary guy, 50% of his income has probably gone in tax, you know? So the larger you are, probably the more control you have of how much tax you pay in that, because you can have better accountants and find loopholes and move around and do whatever needs to be done to preserve your wealth or to pay less tax. And therefore, that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy that more or less automatically, and you're also meeting other people and mixing with other people that want to help you avoid taxation and build your wealth.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, you also have a powerful lobby group working with you because, you know, you can threaten legal action and you can tie all sorts of people around you up in all sorts of knots if they're not bending to your will in that. So it becomes quite easy to operate in that.
Yeah.
That's your main concern then, is getting your way. And if somebody says no to you, your typical answer is, well, why not?
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
And well, even then, how dare you? Because I'm the self-made man and you're, you know, you're working for me. So how could you say no to me?
Uh-huh. Well, I got a message from somebody and they wrote to me, all narcissists can be egotist, whereas all egotists cannot be narcissist. So I guess that's an interesting, some sort of a, I don't know, I guess it's some sort of a paper categorized under science between difference between narcissist and egotist. But anyways.
So what you're saying is you can be both a narcissist and an egotist, but an egotist doesn't necessarily have to be a narcissist's true choice.
I believe so. Yeah, I believe that's what it was saying.
Yeah, well, that comes back to awareness again, or consciousness, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
No, you see, one can be quite, most people aren't obviously billionaires, okay? So, you know, because of that, they are quite unique insofar as there aren't that many of them knocking around in the larger proportion of the population.
Right.
So because of that then, they command, I mean, the American dream is to become wealthy and make as much as you can, apparently, isn't it? That's the whole capitalist system that we're buying into.
Well,
that's being sold to us all the time.
If it's actually categorized as a capitalistic system, I think it's just a crony capitalistic system. I think it's more of a fascist system than anything else.
Well, it is. It seems to be becoming that, because governments have a choice, either build labor or build capitalism. And they seem to be going down the capitalist route more and more so.
Yeah, I think they are thinly, I think they're thinly veiled fascism. I think that they're claiming, I think a lot of these places, a lot of these countries are claiming to be either socialist or communist or Marxist or whatever the ism is, but I think it's just thinly veiled as fascism.
Well, to me, all isms are belief systems. So if I believe that you're a religious leader and that you command my respect and that you're more knowledgeable than me and I accede to your beliefs and start falling into line behind you, then obviously I'm losing myself and my own consciousness in that.
Yeah.
Similarly, if I buy into capitalism and want to effectively crush all around me and I live for my negotiation abilities and my the deal, we'll call it, then I'm not considering the people that are around me, and partly because they're not considering themselves.
Yeah.
You know, so it becomes all of these isms again. Socialism is again a belief system. Fascism is a belief system. I mean, look at all the people in Europe that say, hey, I'm not responsible, I was just following orders.
Yeah.
You know, so people try and justify, they basically take the thick ticket, right? And they say, well, hey, you know, everybody around me is operating in this manner, so that's the system. So basically, I'm going to fall into line and not question it, not lose myself in it.
Yeah.
Don't they? So, you know, all of those children that were abused by, unmarried priests over the years, the civil authorities didn't investigate them. The police stayed away from it. You know, you couldn't get a solicitor to prosecute a priest. Now, I'm not saying all of them are like that, but certainly there were enough of them there, and their bishops moved them around and all the rest of it, because they believed that this is the system and we'll just move them on and it'll be okay. And, you know, what about the poor child victims? So that's a belief system, you know, and they justify that in their own minds, that, hey, it's okay, it'll go away, or it'll get better, or it won't come out, or, you know, we'll keep it hidden or whatever. Likewise, fascism, if I follow blindly orders, then if I believe I'm doing what I'm told and I have to, then in order to survive or in order to get along or in order to get a promotion or in order to feed my family or whatever, I desensitize to it. It doesn't matter how many people I have to kill.
Well, you see, that's just a thing. I think they have the ritual for the, well, let's just take the police and the guardie over there. They have this ritual where they where you will stand in front of one of the superiors, and you will over here. I think it's, you put your left hand on the Bible and raise your right hand, and then you swear the oath to protect the Constitution, or oath to protect whatever it is, the oath of office. I think they have this oath to give the psychological imprint to the man or the woman that they're going to be a police officer and they're going to be a authority figure and they're going to have power.
Well, then they become trained, you see. They fall into line. I mean, you know, they come on effectively as apprentices, and, they're suited and booted, and suddenly they've got the gear and the garb and the authority, and they fall into, you know, similar to in the army. They start taking the orders and they start doing this and that and the other, and they never question it.
No.
You know, in actual fact, that then becomes why they're recruited, because they will carry out orders and that, and they won't question them, you know?
Well, certainly.
So suddenly now they're on the side of the road and they're imposing taxes and speeding fines and this and that, and they're delivering this and doing the other and all of these things, and they're not considering what they're doing,
yeah.
You know? Because surely their role as a peace officer should be to improve the conduct of the people in their neighborhood. So, you know, they should be involved in with youths and sports and the kid that's going astray rather than incarcerate him. They should big brother him or mentor him or, you know, actually try and improve the situation or maybe ask what's causing this. Maybe, you know, if you have a young fella there that's becoming, getting into pyrotechnics, we'll say, lighting fires and things like that. Well, what's happened? Where has the system failed? In terms of where has the community failed? What does he need?
You know,
maybe his parents are separated. Maybe he hasn't a dad or father figure around, or maybe his mother's on drink or drugs, or you know what I'm saying? Maybe education would help him, or maybe you know, maybe just a chat would help him, rather than process him through the system and pop him into a jail where he's going to learn more negative skills and where he's going to be ostracized.
Yeah.
From the community. So you're effectively removing him then and making an example of him, but you're suppressing him. So you're reducing his choices. He's now tagged, he's labeled, he's processed, he's got a number, he's got a prisoner number, he's, not likely now to seek or find gainful employment. And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy that this guy is now a wrong'un.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to fulfill that that role via his suppression.
Yeah.
Because his conduct is not going to improve, because now he's been disconnected from his own community. So he's been taken out and put in a jail a couple of hundred miles away, where his family are going to find it difficult to visit him. And now he's around, knocking around with, maybe people in a prison situation, and he's going to be learning other skills now when he comes out, and he's going to find it hard to fit back into society. You're basically incarcerating him and creating a whole new level of difficulties.
Well, certainly, yeah. Especially over here in America, the prison system is a privately owned corporation in itself.
Well, then you see you've got all of that. There's a whole industry there in incarcerating people, and that's corporate-driven, and it's a for-profit setup, and they just want more customers, you know, so incarcerate more and more and more, and isolate those people and all the rest of it. Like, you know, you have a huge percentage in America. I think you're the highest percentage of incarcerated people on the globe.
In the world, yes.
So, you know, what good is that? Are we doing the same thing repeatedly and just getting into that more and more?
I believe
and losing our communities. Isn't it suppressing our communities?
Oh, yeah, it is. I believe the statistic shows that America has like 5% of the world's population, but we have 25% of the world's incarceration.
Well, isn't that a crazy statistic?
It is.
You know, I mean, surely there has to be a better way than that. Doing the same thing repeatedly and expecting a different outcome is the definition of madness.
Insanity. So yes.
It's becoming insane, you know?
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, you know, when these guys come out and that type of thing, because they've been sectioned off or isolated, removed from their communities, tagged, labeled, and all the rest of it, you know, they're going to choose the easy option because nobody's talked to them about conduct.
Yeah.
So they're more likely to rob a grocery store or something like that, or try and rob it afterwards, and produce guns, which are quite dangerous, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to take those chances because their options have become limited.
I find it interesting, Del, that it doesn't really get reported on so much here in America, and I think it should, but I think that there's some Scandinavian countries, I don't really know which ones offhand, probably most of them, but they seem to have decriminalized a lot of the drug abuse, and they've decriminalized prostitution, and a lot of their crime seems to be more or less non-existent. And I think if other countries, even in Europe, if they tried to go that type of way, they might have similar results.
For me, it all comes down to choice. If you overregulate things, you remove that choice from people. So, for example, if you sit in a vehicle, right, it makes sense to put your safety belt on, okay? But if there's more and more regulation around you, you've got more and more to contend with. So you're listening maybe to the news and you're late for work and you've got to collect the kids later and, you know, your wife is under pressure because she may be about to be let go from her job, made redundant or something, right? So you've got all this extra stuff going on. And in the meantime, then you're trying to work hard and you're trying to do, you know, be a good dad, or you're trying to do all of these things. But in the meantime, you've got all this stuff coming at you from the radio and all of these other areas, all these memes that are floating around in our heads. So you may forget to put your safety belt on. So now you're in trouble going down the road. Okay, now maybe you're driving around in your town, you're just going a couple of hundred yards or meters, and you're going from the store to the pharmacy, right? And you forget to put your thing on, and now you're fined, and now you've that to contend with. So you've less to take home, and you've more pressure, and you know what I'm saying? It becomes self-fulfilling that because there's more regulation and more going on in one's head, that one actually has less self-awareness. You know, because if you thought about it, when you sat into the car, if you were nice and relaxed, I think I'll put the belt on just in case, because it's a sensible thing to do. You know, do you get my drift that it becomes crazy?
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, it might occur at a time when, you know, there's an election looming. So you've got Trump or Clinton or what's Obama saying? Who's he endorsing? You know,
Clinton.
What's big business promoting? What's Trump's, you know, whose speech has been copied there in the last day? And you've seen all that going on, you know. So we're getting all that from every angle. Meanwhile, there's a text on your phone and there's an email you've got to address, and you've got an electricity bill to pay, and the gas one is due, and you got to tax the car, and you got to change the tire, and you've got all these things going on, you know. And the amount of regulation is becoming crazy. All the statutes and acts and all the rest of it are just mounting up. So with all of that, you know, and you're afraid you might be incarcerated if you can't pay the fine, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And in the back seat, it suddenly dawns on you now when you're stopped or that type of thing that, hey, you know, you gave somebody a lift there the other day because their car broke down and they may have dropped something on the floor in the back of the car. And if that's found now, you got another problem, you know. You may be incarcerated for hash or cannabis or something like that, you know. And it becomes crazy. And meanwhile, he's walking around your car and he's checking your tires and your tax and your insurance and all these things and seeing what else he can pin on you, because that's his job. So in all of that, it becomes quite hard to actually focus on what is important. And what is important is community, family, common sense, conduct. These are the basics that we should be reared upon. These are the breads that we should be eating. But instead of that, we're eating a lot of lemons and having to chew on a lot of sour stuff. And in that, we're losing our own sense of taste as well, you know?
Yes. Yes, I do.
So as things heat up around us more and more, probably that's the time that we should buy into it less and start making more realistic choices. Because it's a world of choice. It's a world of free choice, you know? We don't have to work in a job in which we're unhappy for less and less every year. You know what I'm saying? We can become self-employed, or we can get out of the matrix, or we have a lot of choices, or we can choose to remain, but start controlling things more. So maybe we can choose not to be bullied in our place of work. We can choose to have a better relationship with our children, to take more time, to take some holidays, you know, not to be getting into argy-bargy with people as much as media might be promoting and that type of thing, and basically start finding answers within rather than without, you know, and get rid of this dependency on government, because government is the greatest belief system ever created. It's a form of madness, really, you know.
It's the greatest cult.
It's a cult. It's a dependency. It's a belief system, and it's becoming ridiculous. All we hear about now is government, you know, who's in power, who's out, Cameron's gone, May is in. Yep. Trump is, you know, who's coming, who's getting behind Trump?
Yeah.
You know, whose speech was copied yesterday by Hillary Clinton? la-di-da, you know, all of this. And it's just a rehash of all the old stuff, that, but it's becoming stronger insofar as there's more and more of it around us, if we choose to believe all of that madness.
Yeah. Did you see what I posted a couple of days ago?
In relation to?
Well, on Facebook, I just posed a question. I put a simple thing on there.
Oh, what's the greatest cult?
What is the biggest cult in the world? Yeah, and only one got it right. As far as I'm concerned, it was Vin. And Vin wrote back the government. Government is the biggest cult.
I would argue that two people got it right there.
Well, yeah, me.
Did you see, I was going to say, you obviously had an idea when you posted it, and you accepted, or you chose a certain answer there, you know?
Yeah. Didn't you also put that on there, too?
What did I put on?
Actually trying to find the thread now.
Yeah. It was, yes, government was the greatest belief system. A lot of people put money up.
Yeah.
I found that amazing because, yes, money is a belief system. You know, if I accept a note in my hand, I believe that I can trade that in with somebody else for roughly an equivalent value and all the rest of it, you know?
Yeah.
Unless I put it in a bank and they take their margin, you know? Or I pay interest and usury, in which case I have very little left. Fees, charges, la-di-da.
Yeah.
But that seems to be the system or part of it. Yeah, belief in anything other than oneself was a very good answer there, I thought. That was quite a good answer as well. There were lots of interesting answers there. And again, it told a lot about the people that were commenting.
Yeah.
Because they were thinking about it and they were bringing a little of their own to it, you know?
Yep. Well, you know, it's just the fact that the people that believe in government don't even realize or don't even think that it's a cult. And that's basically... Government is a cult.
Well, a cult can be defined as anything that one doesn't operate free choice in. And most people never question government. I mean, what is government?
Well, there is no such thing as government.
There is, insofar as people believe that it exists.
Well...
It seems to be everywhere. Every country seems to have a government. And then you have local authorities, local government, and lots of civil servants operating in that pyramidical system.
I just went back to that and seen that there's been 42 comments. Some more comments that I haven't seen. So,
What did I put in? What did I answer?
Well... You come in after Vin, so, let me see here. I'm having trouble finding it now.
It's there somewhere. I remember posting anyway.
I know you
can't
did.
Can't remember what I posted, though, but I did think about it. I gave an honest answer.
Yeah.
But it is an interesting question, you know. We've got all these cults and belief systems going on. Like, you know, let's take a typical example, right? Let's say that in your community, let's say you've got a playground, right? And let's say that, you're walking past tomorrow morning and you see that it's smoldering, that some teenagers have been in there yesterday evening and had a few drinks and somebody's lit a fire and done a little bit of damage. Do you call the cops? You know, what will they do? Like, they'll investigate it, they'll arrest, they'll interview. Now, again, the word interview I find very interesting because obviously there must be a vacancy somewhere that they want to fill. So they'll interview with a view to incarceration, possibly. You now have a young fella, or two or three kids maybe, that now have been ticketed. They now have
I just seen
now been labeled and processed.
I just seen your answer. The cult of usury. Most are members resultant from their blind belief.
There you go, yeah. Well, that harkens back to what I mentioned there a while ago, which was that, you know, this cut being taken out of everything in terms of banking and in terms of taxation and in terms of, you know, even insurance. And there are so many things that are eating into our work, if you wanted to just reduce our work to money or the volume of money that we have or process. It's becoming crazy, you know, because you want public insurance, private insurance, health insurance. You want to pay all these taxes, road taxes, test your vehicle every now and again. And yes, obviously, you know, your vehicle should be in order and, you know, you should have fire insurance. But really and truly, we're buying into all that more and more. I mean, you need, solicitor insurance now, or legal insurance attached to everything. Recently, I insured a vehicle there, and I was, I found, I think it was 38 insurers were actually mixed up in that policy. They had it broken down into, I asked for a detailed breakdown, and they had it broken down into all sorts of things, you know, so there were maybe three insurance agents looking after the, let's say if you lost an eye, right? So they had it maybe one was taking 40% and two 30%. Of just that aspect where you got, let's say you got 5,000 for an eye in the event that you lost an eye, an arm similarly broken down. So lots and lots of pieces mixed up in that puzzle, you know?
Yeah. Limbs don't seem to be very valuable over here in America either. I mean, you lose a arm or something like that, I think you get a settlement of 25,000 or something like that. I don't know.
It mightn't even pay for the prosthesis.
Might. That's the... The key word there is might.
Yeah. But again, you see, you know, things happen and all the rest of it. You gotta take a lot of that on board. You know, like I've obtained a lot of scratches in my life. If I was to go the legal route and all the rest of it, I'd be tied up in a lot of knots there for a lot of time, you know.
Uh-huh.
I'm not taking personal responsibility if I'm worried about, you know, natural wear and tear, we'll say.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if I fall generally, it's probably my own fault. You know?
Yeah.
Got to take it on the chin. If I break an arm, well, hey, you know, it'll heal.
Yeah.
If I lose a limb, that's another matter, you know?
Yeah.
But most of the small stuff there, we're getting too titchy about small stuff. Very little drives people AWOL quite easily nowadays, you know? Do you find that? People are under more and more pressure out there, so they get very titchy about smaller things.
Yeah, I think, I think more and more people are imploding around all of us that maybe it's putting a more psychological, more of a psychological imprint on us.
There recently, we've got this ring of Kerry in Ireland, and I was talking to a lady who hires out cars, you know, as she works for an operation that hires out cars, so... she was just talking about, you know, they deal with a lot of tourists and that type of thing. So they fly into an airport and they hire a car and they go and do the Ring of Kerry. Now, the Ring of Kerry is a very narrow road and it falls away, you know, hundreds of feet. Most of it is you're driving around the side of cliffs. So it's quite easy to go off the road, you know, and you would have drains running down both sides of the road and things like that. So anyway, one day this American phoned in anyway, and he said he was after getting his front tire caught in one of these drains. I wanted to know from the rental car company, who does he sue? Does he sue the local authority that maintains the road? Does he sue the tourist board that invited him over or that he saw an advertisement for? Or is it his insurance would take care of it? Or, you know, who would he sue?
Right, right.
And how would he get that going?
Yeah.
So she said, well, have you killed anybody? And he said, no. are you injured yourself? No. Have you tried reversing the car out of where it is? And he said, no. But maybe I want to take some pictures first and things like that. And she said, well, by all means, take some pictures. But more than likely, you can either reverse out of it or ask somebody to pull you out of it and get back on the road, you know?
Uh-huh.
Or do you want us to send a breakdown assistance person to help you out, you know? But his approach was, who do I sue? That was his question. Rather than dealing with it himself, he was the guy that was after driving into it, you know?
Yeah.
And he could have reversed out of it, likely, and probably did. But it was just a small thing, but... you know, while he was making the phone call, he should have sorted it himself, you know?
Yeah. Well,
so we're getting more caught up in smaller detail like that, you know?
Yeah. I just realized, Del, the show's almost over. We're almost at the hour.
Well, I had a few questions for you.
Well, I guess we'll have to save it for next time because Kira's coming up next.
Well, I'll have to interview you some other time. So how did you get on with Sherry?
Good, actually. We had a lot of fun out there.
Good. And what's she like in real life?
She's a pistol. whatever you...
Has she any annoying habits you want to share with us in the minute and a half left?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Has she got any annoying habits there that you want to share with us?
No, I'm going to keep that kind of dirt to myself.
Good stuff. Well, I mean, you wouldn't make a good guest if you were telling stories, you know?
That's right.
You wouldn't be invited back again, maybe.
Probably not. Probably not.
So listen, we enjoyed the chat anyway, and hopefully we explored a few areas, and we'll do it again sometime.
All right. Thanks, Dale.
No problem. Anytime.
Have a good night.
And good night to you all.
All right, everyone. That is basically the end of the show here, about the last minute or so. So all I'm going to do is play the PIR intro, the little 20-second intro to end, and say good night, everyone. Thanks for coming out. Although we did have some problems with Dell's internet there, but we got through it. So yeah, everyone, stay tuned for Kira. She's coming right up. So see everyone next week. This is Ben Castle of Cabal on PeoplesInternetRadio.com. And I'm Stephen Roberts. Good night, everyone.